My name is Dr. Roy Morgan. Welcome to this program. It's called Health Essentials. I think one of the best things that we can do is if we just sit down together, both you and I, and we discuss strategies and ways to improve our health, I think we kind of put ourselves in a much better light. You're not going to just accidentally fall over backwards and have good health. There must be some effort on your part. Personally, I think it's great if you're very curious. That puts you in a good light. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. This is a first-time caller. I'm a long-time listener, but a first-time caller. So.
Oh, well, welcome to the program. I'm going to give you special treatment today.
Good. I need it. No, life is good. I do have a couple of questions. I had an annual checkup from my GYN recently, and he wants to put me on a bone-building antibiotic, Fosamax, Moniva, and Evista, and I'm tentative. I just want to hear what you have to say. Let me say one more thing. He said this was the only thing that would build bones, you know, exercise and calcium and good food and whatever, would sustain what I have. But my bone density test from 2014 to 2017 had decreased significantly, and I'm 78, so that I know that comes with age. You know,
well, what was the Z score? Was it like minus 2.7 or something like that?
I can't tell you.
Okay, well, never mind. That just tells me compared to other women, 78 years of age, plus or minus a month or two, that you may have lost a little bit more bone. And I do appreciate what he's saying. However, let me give you a little bit different take on this.
That's what I want.
All right, good. Would you agree with me that the bones are actually a living substance? They're alive. You have these little cells in there that what they want to do is they want to please you. And the way that they please you is they do the very thing that God designed them to do, which is to secrete this bony mineral matrix. Now, when bone cells make this bone substance that's alive, it's called microcrystalline hydroxyapatite.
Whoa.
I know it's a mouthful. Okay. But sometimes for short they call it MCHC. And so this is the one substance that if you take it as a supplement or you get it from the food that you eat, then you give your bones the very best chance and opportunity to actually repair and rebuild themselves, which, you know, that's life. As long as you can replace, you know, bone, I think you have one bone cell that tries to dissolve old bone that's like at the end of its lifespan. It'd be like if your husband says, there's a rotten board in the kitchen floor, let me cut it out and replace it with a new one. And so it's healthy again.
Sure.
And so you get microcrystalline hydroxyapatite when you take bone broth. Actually, I've tried so many things over the last 30 years, and I can tell you this. If somebody walks in my door and they say, Dr. Morgan, I have the worst pain of all time in the rib. I've been to the chiropractor. They keep adjusting it. The pain won't go away. It makes me miserable. And then when I examine them, I look at them and say, ma'am, you have a broken rib. Because when I touch it, it kills them, and I can feel the crack in it. And I say, okay, here's what we want to do right here. Why don't we just try a simple strategy? And they go, what is that? And I say, let's just feed your bones the very things that they need. And so what I do is I give them a raw bone supplement. The one that I use more of than any other is called Calcifood. It's very, very simple. What they do is they take, I know this sounds gross on a Saturday morning, but I'm being straight with you. If you take the vertebrae of calves when they go to the meatpacking plant, and you take their ribs, and you put them in this large stainless steel tumbler with a whole bunch of bowling balls, and you roll this thing around like a cement truck turning cement, it just crushes it and pulverizes the bones into dust.
Got it,
but
yeah.
All I'm saying is this is a raw bone extract, so I'm suggesting it's perfect food for the bones. I can't even tell you how many phone calls I get when people have suffered for a long time and they'll call me back and say, you're not going to believe this. All my pain has gone away. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's what healing looks like. And so instead of saying Fosamax or Avista or Boniva, I'm just saying, what do we talk about when it comes to feeding the bones? And so if a woman or a man has weak bones, why don't we just feed them? And that product by standard process called CalciFood is not the only one. It's just the one that I have the most experience with.
Right.
And so that directly feeds the bones. Now, number two, and I realize I haven't got to your question totally yet, but let me take off on that.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Okay, good.
You're so clear. I love it because you speak clear English to me, a layman.
Oh, you're so sweet to me. Actually, I'm going to go out of my way to really please you today. Since you there's a fat-soluble vitamin known as vitamin K2. Sometimes it's called minoquinone, but K2.
Guess what? That was my second question for today. Go ahead.
No. And we're on the same wavelength here because all I'm suggesting is you need sufficient amounts of K2 to send the hormonal signal to your body that, hey, why don't we get some of this calcium that's in the blood to the bones where they belong? Mm-hmm. And so it's just doing its job. And so I'm gonna kind of be radical here. I'm going to say that vitamin K2 probably has a heck of a lot more to do with rebuilding your bones than Boniva ever could. Or
really?
Avista or Fosamax. You know how those drugs work? All they do is they tell your body, stop removing the old, weak, damaged bone. Just leave it alone. So it kills the bone cells that reabsorb old, damaged bone. But what happens, the purpose of removing old, damaged bone that's like 7 years old is so once it's removed, your body can go in there and lay down brand new, healthy bone. And so that's what Boniva and Avista and Fosamax completely interrupt. They prevent the body from removing old, damaged bone. So if you did a follow-up bone density test, here's what it would show. The doctor would say, I am so glad you took my recommendations to take both the Boniva, the Avista, and the Fosamax. Who cares if you feel horrible all day long as a side effect, as long as your bones are thicker. But yeah, it'll show that your bones are thicker, but it just means your body is not reabsorbing the old bone. But let me ask a question to every medical doctor out there or pharmacist. How do you lay down new bone if you kill the cells that remove the old bone to put the new bone? It just doesn't work that way. So yes, on an X-ray, it may look a little bit better to show that your bone's a little bit thicker, but yeah, you got thicker bones, but they're just old and brittle. So vitamin K2. Now, the next thing that I must say, I know you've heard of a mineral called magnesium.
Yes.
I am convinced from my studies that magnesium plays a much greater role at hardening and strengthening your bones than even calcium does. You know what I read the other day? They did a study on children that had very, very soft teeth. And I know, since you've lived on this planet for 78 years, God bless you,
Thank you. You
have seen children that have horrible teeth before, right?
Yes.
Well, guess what happens? If a child is deficient in magnesium, yeah, they grow enamel on their teeth, all right, but it's not the hard kind of enamel. It's the very, very soft kind. And so if you grow up in a part of the world, or let me say it this way. What if you're not served vegetables growing up? What if you're never given fruit? What if all you eat are Pop-Tarts and donuts and Doritos and Twinkies?
Yeah.
You think I'm joking. There's people that do that.
No, I know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, then you're gonna have the softest teeth of all time. And so as you age as an adult, they can't resist these infections and these problems. And they're the ones that have all the root canals and all the fillings and all the problems. All I'm suggesting is...
You're talking to her.
Well, go ahead. But you've got to have magnesium. And so if you ask me, I think magnesium is significantly more important to get from the food that you eat or from
a supplement.
Yes, exactly. I hope this didn't come across as a joke, but when I examine somebody, if I find a woman or a man that's like super duper ticklish, I mean, I just look at them and they start laughing and writhing around like they can't stand being touched. I always think that's a magnesium deficiency. And then I usually ask them, well, do you by chance crave chocolate? And they go, yeah. Well, chocolate actually has magnesium. Now, when I say chocolate, I don't think a Hershey's Kiss or a Snickers bar really qualifies as chocolate. It may, that's probably like more sugar than chocolate. But if you had like 60 to 80 or 90% cocoa or chocolate, I'm perfectly fine with that. That sounds good. That actually contains nutrients, but there's magnesium in chocolate. So sometimes when a person's stressed and they want chocolate, I think maybe magnesium is what they want, which I do find this interesting. When a person is under stress, they dump and go through magnesium at such a fast rate. I just think they're losing it so much faster than what they can replenish it. But magnesium is the very element that you need to make your bones strong. So microcrystalline hydroxyapatite, or MCHC, the product that I've used the most of is called CalciFood. It's not the only one. But if you look for a supplement that comes from clean, raw cow bones, that's what I've seen work. Not the cooked cow bones as in bone meal, but I've seen the raw, which, you know, I'm going to play both sides of this. If you were to eat a boneless, skinless chicken breast where they've said, oh my goodness, we've got to make this thing look white and perfect because it's like low in fat. So they trim the skin off of it. They don't let you have any of the cartilage or the bones to cook it with.
Right.
That doesn't have much collagen. So the structural framework of all your bones, to give it something for the mineral matrix to attach to, you got to have collagen. That's like the framework of a house. So when somebody builds a house, they usually put a foundation down. I'll just say concrete to make it simple. But usually the workers come out, the framing crew, those guys are in and out in just a few days. It's incredible. All the studs go up. They put the trusses and the rafters and everything's in place for the roof. And then you got the roofing crew. But anyway, the structural framework of your bones is called collagen. And there's a whole bunch of different forms of collagen. But in our modern age, people just don't eat collagen because it's not like they're putting chicken quarters in the oven to bake those where you eat. Because everybody avoids the skin. I've never understand that. In the skin contains the collagen. And when you cook a meat with a bone attached to it, whether it's like an arm or a shoulder roast, or if it's a T-bone steak, or if it's chicken, you want chicken with the skin on it. I would imagine all the doctors are just cringing, going, oh, that's horrible. But, you know, for the last, 50 years, they've told us that eggs are bad, and they've just recently come out with research saying, oops, we were wrong. Eggs are actually good for you. They're not bad. And so, you got to have collagen. And there's a lot of forms of collagen out there. But probably the simplest one to supplement with is one called collagen hydrosylate. That just means it's easy to stir it into water. Some people put it in tea or coffee and just drink it down. Now, I'm an oversimplifier, but let me tell you what I think. If you wake up in the morning and your attention is drawn to some pain or an ache in your hip joints, well, then I would say maybe that ache is a clue that your bones are a little bit stressed because they've lost a little bit of their integrity. You've lost some of your collagen and your mass. So what would happen if you said, okay, I'm going to give this a go. I'm going to avoid sugar. All I would say is sugar probably depletes your bones of their minerals faster than anything I know of, or soft drinks would. And so if you said, I'm going to avoid sugar, but I'm going to try some microcrystalline hydroxyapatite, and I'm going to try some K2, and I'm going to try some magnesium, and then I'm going to start eating chicken that has skin and bones attached to it. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I'll take a little bit of collagen. And if you tell me within a month, all of a sudden, your attention doesn't even go to your hips anymore, and you're thinking to yourself, what is the deal here? My hips aren't hurting. They're not aching like they used to. Well, you know what that means? That means your body.
You're healing.
That's it. You got it. They are doing the very thing that God designed them to do, which is to heal and repair.
Right.
You didn't see what I was doing right there, did you? I had my fist and I was pounding my hand like I'm trying to make a point. Yeah, I'm going like, yes, they can see that. But I was going, yes. So if you would consider those things, that is definitely, an alternative to what they recommend. But what I would say is that's no alternative at all. That's actually the most precise remedy or recommendation, is to give the body what it needs so it can heal. I didn't even talk about vitamin D3, but when you combine vitamin D3, cholecalciferol, with vitamin K2, minoquinone, and the microcrystalline hydroxyapatite and magnesium, I'm telling you, you're going to be head and shoulders. And, you know, you need your body to work a little bit longer, don't you?
Sure. Mm-hmm. As long as the Lord will have me here.
Oh, that is well said. I bet you he's got a plan for you. What do you think?
He does. Oh, for sure.
Now,
sure,
do you completely know every detail of that plan he has for you, or do you just accept some of the details through faith that he's got a plan?
Oh, a lot by faith. Day by day, moment by moment.
Can I ask you a couple personal questions?
You bet.
Have you had a pretty good life?
A very good life. God has blessed me, my family, my kids, my husband. I'm just thankful.
Have you had any difficulties that God has just carried you through, and you know he has?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Would you say that your health is good?
Yes.
Would you say there's room for improvement?
Yes.
Do you think that this is good information that you got about your bones being thin, because now you know what to go after and how to tackle this?
Exactly. That's why I called. Like I said, I've listened to you for a long time, and I sometimes get bits and pieces. Now I have a folder. How about that?
Well, let me ask you one last personal question.
Yeah.
If you were to cook fresh salmon in the oven and you squeeze lemon juice on top of it, maybe with some dill,
uh-huh,
and you make a dessert made from 90% cocoa and a fruit salad made of blueberries, raspberries, and you serve asparagus on the side with butter on top of it, I need to know what your physical address is and what time you're serving that. Is that going to be okay?
You bet. Listen, we live in a little log cabin in the woods, and you're welcome anytime.
Oh, my goodness. Well, send me your GPS coordinates, and I'll be over there for supper tonight.
You know what? My husband will eat that, too. You know, that's a consideration. He eats salmon, you know, so.
Well,
one more
detail. When you put butter on your food, you greatly enhance the absorption of the nutrients found in that food. So if you had salmon, it's fine with me if you melt some butter on top of it.
Cool.
If you had asparagus or broccoli or kale or spinach, put some butter on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, good deal. Thank you so much for your phone call today. I really appreciate you.
You're welcome. I appreciate you. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I found that I had to push the button a little bit harder to make it work. Hopefully, I can do it again. If I can do it once, I can do it twice. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. Let me try again. Okay, yay, I got you. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, yay, I got you. Good morning.
You sound like you're so relaxed.
I am right now. It's just delightful.
Is that because you haven't gone out into the harsh reality of this toxic world yet?
I haven't left the cocoon of my bedroom.
Okay, sounds like a winner. How can I help?
Did you see my text yesterday?
No, I did not.
Ah.
I'm sorry, I've got like about a 12. I've had already 17 this morning, believe it.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought to myself while I go, why are they calling me now? I need to kind of do some work here. Anyway, there's a bunch I haven't gotten to. What's going on?
Well, my buddy up in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot of nerve issues. And
now, what do you mean nerve issues?
Stress.
Okay.
And medication is causing constipation.
Oh, boy. Now, when you say medication is causing constipation, are you talking about something that might have like a pain-relieving opioid in it?
Suboxone.
I don't know what that is. Is that a narcotic analgesic?
It's something that they use to take you off of Xanax.
Okay.
Instead of just taking you off of Xanax?
Is that one of the main side effects of that drug, is constipation?
Yes, it is.
Oh, boy.
And I've got him using Epsom salts. I'm not sure. I forget how much you told me to have it used.
Well, that's magnesium.
And you were just talking about that.
I think that's a brilliant plan. Anytime that you have constipation,
how much do you think per day?
Well, this is not meant to be a smart alecky answer, but you have to take enough to cause good, generous, well-formed bowel movements.
Okay.
And so there's room for experimentation, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
And so you take this is what I would do, and I'm only giving you a couple of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But in his case, why don't we give him something that can actually greatly enhance the removal of inflammation from the lining of his gut?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we could trick him into eating like a bowl of fresh raspberries every day and blueberries?
I don't think that's a problem.
Okay, good.
I really don't.
And so there's going to be, in these particular fruits or berries, there's going to be a lot of anti-inflammatory properties. They're going to be very, very good for him, and I think that's going to be helpful. Now, I know what I'm going to say is going to come across as pretty nutty, but I need you to just be open-minded and trust me on this, okay? They have done studies that show when somebody has very high levels of anxiety and or depression, that there's one particular substance found in nature that has both fiber and compounds called polyphenols. So I know you're going to have a hard time believing me, but I just need you to trust me on this. It's called chocolate.
What a shame.
See, I knew it. I just had this feeling that you were going to be resistant, but I'm asking you on faith just to consider chocolate. But I think if you got something that was more like 80 to 90% cocoa, I think we're kind of in business.
I'm thinking probably start with 60 and work our way up.
The other thing, you know what Xanax is? It's going to be a substance that's like an anti-anxiety medication, and he's
exactly.
Anyway,
well, and that's he's off of that. They've taken him off of that and this other stuff. And
would you believe me if I told you the article that I read before I came on the air? It's almost as if I was led to read this just to help you. I can't explain that. That's beyond my understanding. But when people drink 4 cups of green tea a day, it cuts their anxiety and their depression in half every single time.
Awesome.
But there is a substance that's found in tea called L-theanine, and they think just maybe that may have something to do with it.
Okay. Well, here's another issue that was brought up. In the rectal area, there's a puffiness, and I'm not sure if it's pain. It says pain. It hurts.
Well, it's probably either an infection or an abscess.
Okay.
There is a there's an herb called plantain or plant.
Plantain.
And of course, that's my favorite. I like plantain golden seal salve. But if he could find a healing salve that contains comfrey and plantain and maybe echinacea, usually these are made with a base of beeswax and olive oil, which means wherever you apply them, they will stay there. Now, they're kind of greasy. Well, actually, greasy may not be the right word. But you're just trying to get some delivery system to that area. And
okay.
So, yeah, he could
out of here.
The doctor may recommend, like an antibiotic or something, and that's fine. Whatever the doctor recommends, he can go with that. But I would rub that salve on there, because what you want to do is anywhere that you apply that salve, it's going to do a good job of trying to heal
you
and help
you. Like the name of something that he could find at like a health food store or a big box store.
Well, you're probably going to have to go online, and this is an advantage of going on one of the big websites. I've never really heard of this website, but I had a man tell me the other day that when he spent time in South America, there's this small company called Amazon. I'm just assuming that refers to the Amazon River Basin. I don't know.
Forest, yeah.
But he could type in plantain golden seal comfrey salve.
Okay.
And then that way he can come, and that's going to narrow it down greatly. And so he can look at it and say, okay, which one am I going to get? Well, if you get those ingredients that I just mentioned, then we're in business. Now, here's the bottom line here. And just please forgive me for being so blunt. I don't really want to be blunt, but Sometimes I am blunt, but
sometimes we don't have a choice.
Yeah, thank you. See, look, you're so generous to me. He needs oxygen right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to have rectal problems when you're not getting enough oxygen. So I would imagine he's just a little bit tense or a little bit anxious, mm-hmm. a little bit wound up, and he just feels mm-hmm. like he can't calm down. And so if we give him extra amounts of oral magnesium, like you suggested, I think we're in business. And, you know, if you look at the research on magnesium, it has been shown to completely enhance oxygen delivery all over the body. I love the idea of that. So,
how much I use per day, do you think?
Well, here's my sales pitch to him. His name is David, right?
Correct.
Is he similar to the David in the Bible? Because the David in the Bible killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands.
I'm going to tell you, this young man works out, and he's dropped well over 100 pounds in was over a year. But yeah,
so he's in the process of being totally transformed, right?
Well, he's not. I don't know how much he's working out right now, but I think with a little encouragement, he could get back to it.
So if he took a leap of faith here and he said, okay, how does Dr. Morgan want me to do this? I'm going to recommend that he eat real food, and that could be everything from eggs to fish to mm-hmm. you know, clean meat. But if he only sticks to vegetables and fruit, what's going to happen is we're going to get all the inflammation out of his body about as fast as possible. And mm-hmm. so the more inflammation a human being has, the more anxiety they have, and the more depression they have, and the more they just don't feel good. And so we want to give him things that help suppress this or help mm-hmm. take care of it. So a diet that's more like a, and there's a lot of ways to say this. You could say, what about a paleo diet? I'd say, beautiful. That could work
wonderfully. Right now, he's in a situation where he can't do much cooking.
Okay. Well, that means...
And I know I'm making it really hard. But
No, you're not.
It's not an easy thing. This is not an easy life right now.
Well, so he can't really choose what he's eating, right?
Not easily. What about zinc? Is zinc going to help anything?
Yeah, absolutely. Zinc is a great healer. And actually, zinc is the cornerstone of a human being's immune system. So if there is a sore that is painful or a bump, however you want to say it, near the rectal area,
mm-hmm.
I think zinc is something that could be very beneficial.
Is there a zinc cream?
There is a zinc cream.
Okay. And with that might work.
Well, if you applied it topically, you would at least get it to the area that probably needs it the most.
Yeah. And I'm thinking zinc tablets or whatever.
Well, the one thing that he can do in his situation is he can practice breathing exercises, right?
He does that pretty well.
If it were me, I would probably recommend that the young man just get on the floor and start doing yoga exercises if he has any way to stretch and to really, really try to get the body to breathe more deeply.
Okay. Cool.
So is this going to be impossible for him to get a cream to put on his bottom?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, they've got health food stores, and I'm sure Walmart carries it.
Well, I don't know if you can find it at Walmart, but you know what you could find at Walmart
is
they sell magnesium spray and castor oil.
Really?
Yeah, and this, you know, a long, long time ago, people used to use this oil called the Palm of Christ oil. And I kind of wonder to myself, I think, why do they call it the Palm of Christ oil? Probably because it did a great job of healing just very, very severe wounds.
Mm-hmm.
I have a book on my shelf at the office, and this is probably the 10th time I mention this, but I think it bears repeating, or worthy of repeating, that in the annals of orthopedic surgery, if they did a major lower back surgery to repair severely damaged, crushed vertebrae or disc,
mm-hmm.
the standing orders of the nursing staff was to keep the surgical wound packed in castor oil to prevent staph infections, and this is from 1946.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, they knew something. But, you know, castor oil is not probably in favor. It's too cheap, too easy to use. No, I'm joking about that. But
yeah.
Wherever you want to heal an area, castor oil might be a good bet.
And what was the other thing you said? A spray, something, magnesium spray or something?
Yeah, it's just a magnesium oil spray.
Okay.
What they do is they go to the Dead Sea in Israel, and they collect magnesium chloride, and they put it in the solution, and you just spray it on your body and let your body drink it up.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons why I've tried to tell you not to spray chocolate all over your face or beet juice, because your skin will drink it up.
There you go.
But you know,
I might have to have that for breakfast.
I know that the listening community probably doesn't. This is probably too much information, but you come from a long line of Apache Indians, and so when you feel like you want to go back to your heritage of running for your life from the Mexican Army or the U.S. Cavalry, like Geronimo did, don't you smear chocolate and beet juice on your face?
Of course.
Okay, I thought so. All right.
You know, you have to do these things.
You know, it's been shown that your skin will basically drink 60% of what's on it. So that's one of the reasons why you got to be careful. When you put chemicals on your skin, guess what's going to happen? They will drink them up.
Yeah, I know it's the largest absorbing organ on the body.
It is. I mean, haven't you ever, you know, rubbed or, you know, put olive oil on your skin only to have your skin drink all of it?
Mm. Okay. I haven't, but it sounds like a good idea.
Well, I can't figure you out. Are you either Indian or Apache or Italian? Which one is it? Neither?
A little tiny bit of Indian.
Okay, well, that's what I thought. Well, I'm going to recommend some olive oil occasionally or coconut oil. Let your skin just drink it.
Yeah, okay. So the easy thing for him, because of the situation, would be magnesium and zinc and castor oil.
I had one more thought, and this is probably the most accurate thought that I've had. I hate to admit that, but it's true. You can take either olive oil, mm-hmm. or you can take fractionated coconut oil, and you can ozonate it and add oxygen to it, and then it changes the look of olive oil. Olive oil goes from like a light, you know, yellow green color. You've seen olive
mm-hmm.
oil.
Yeah,
but when
exactly.
you ozonate it, it almost becomes like a thick gel because you mm-hmm. saturate it with oxygen. So when you have any sore on the body that's not going away or a bump that's painful, mm-hmm. you could probably purchase what's called ozonated olive oil or coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
And he could rub that on there 5 times a day. It probably
okay.
would make it completely disappear and go away, which is called healing.
Yeah. And here's another question. What about shea butter?
Shea butter is an excellent choice. You can sure give it a shot to see if it causes that to heal. You know what?
You had recommended that for skin cancer.
The ozonated oil is probably going to give him the biggest bang for the buck, and that's like about $12.95 to $15 for a tub of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ozonated.
I think I'm giving you a brilliant recommendation, quite honestly. Brilliant.
I'm writing.
You can't see where I'm smiling, really.
I can hear it in your voice.
Okay, I can't fool you. But it's a great recommendation.
And he should be able to get at a health food store.
Well, again, I cannot say that, but I can tell you if he goes online, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and you please forgive me. I've been into many, many stores, and I haven't seen ozonate oil yet, but I'm sure it's coming.
Yeah, maybe somewhere. Okay. Well, we'll start working with the castor oil, magnesium, and the zinc.
Okay.
And go from there.
Very good. Well, I wish him the very best.
And thank you. And yeah, because I'll talk to him hopefully in a little while.
Okay. Good deal, buddy.
Hey, thank you for your help. I greatly appreciate
you're
you
welcome.
So much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, have a great weekend. Bye.
You too. The one article that I read this week, and I tried to find it a while ago, but I didn't find it. And what I was going to do is I was going to reference, there was a very famous herbalist in Europe. His name was John something. The something is just me making up. I don't remember his name. But what really intrigued me is back in the 1600s, there was a remedy that was used frequently when there was depression, and that was black currant seed oil, an oil. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing super. Hey, quick question for you, and I probably have the answer, but I just want to check. On the side of your foot, there is a bone that kind of sticks out a bit, kind of like if you look at your hand and where your pinky connects to your palm, there's that like connection there.
That's called your fifth metatarsal head.
Oh, okay. So it's down kind of by the arch area?
That's what it's called, the fifth metatarsal head, yes.
Okay, mine is extremely tender. I was doing exercise and must have bruised it and can't do exercise now. And I've been babying it for a couple of months.
I need to ask you a serious question. Did your husband run over this with a tractor?
No.
Okay. Can you think of anything that may have happened?
A large dog might have stomped on it.
Or a large dog? You mean Mr. Fluffy?
Yes.
Well, you sure you didn't trip over the dog? Because that would be more believable as far as injuring that area.
Okay.
Does it really hurt when you stand on it with the bare feet first thing in the morning?
No, not anymore, but it did.
Well, what's it doing now?
It's feeling okay, and I'd like to start exercising again, but I'm afraid of, you know, I would baby it for a week or so and then start exercise, and boom, it was right back.
But you don't remember anything that could have happened where you could have fractured that bone or cracked it? How about a stress fracture? Did you do, like, lots of walking and all of a sudden start hurting?
You know, I honestly have no clue.
Okay.
I can't remember anything. But now that you're saying all that, when I was a kid, I fell off my horse and I did break it.
Well, and then one option is if you broke that as a child, you may have just a little bit of arthritic development in it. I've seen three broken foots in the last... Did I just say foots?
You did.
All right, scratch that. I've seen three broken feet. I need to go back to school. In the last month, one of them was tripping over a dog. One of them was a karate instructor that injured it, you know, kicking a bag really, really hard. So even karate guys can get a broken foot. And the other one, we think maybe... was rubber boots getting bound up as they were walking and tripping and falling. But at each point, you could say, okay, I think I understand what happened. I was walking along, the dog cut in front of me, the Labrador Retriever, and, you know, I got clotheslined at the knees, and over they went, and thus the broken foot.
Okay.
And so
I didn't think broken foot.
Okay, well, here's one thing that you can try right now. You could try very easily rubbing castor oil on that area and see if it gets rid of some of the inflammation.
See, I knew you were going to tell me that. That's the thing.
Yeah, I knew that. But I know that you know that I know that you know. But so the other thing that you could look at is, now this is going to sound kind of nutty, but just let me give you my sales pitch on this. I tend to think that any time that you have any issue, whatever it is, if we can just get more oxygen to it, then maybe we can have some healing take place. And so just maybe oxygen could be one of the greatest healing elements in all the universe. If a person had dementia and they're not getting any progress because of a traumatic brain injury,
yeah.
I tend to think, boy, how I wish that we could get them in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber over and over and over, because oxygen's a great healer. And so just like I told the gentleman before, I don't know if he really understands how important it is, but I think he did, getting oxygenated oil to an area of pain sometimes will turn that off. The other thing that I do over and over that I just see sometimes it works so amazing, I can't even believe it, is I will take some CBD salve and rub on area of pain, and quite often a person will tell me, oh my goodness, the pain is gone. I'm thinking, whoa, that's awesome.
Oh, CBD salve. I didn't think of that.
And you're just in the, it's like anything else. You're trying to find what is the best delivery system to an area. And so if you took CBD oil internally, it would have a good effect. But there's probably not any of it going to get to your toe. It'll probably be used up by your digestive tract in a good way. So when you take a salve and you apply it topically, you're getting it exactly to the area that is most needed. And so that could be of a tremendous benefit.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, for sure. Okay, so talking about CBD oil, I know there's a gazillion brands out there now, but is there something we should look for when we're purchasing CBD oil?
Well, the two metrics I think you've got to consider is, and I'm not trying to make a joke by saying this, but some people, as part of their employment, are going to be tested for, they're going to have a drug test.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And so it's going to be in, I'm not the expert on these things, but as far as I know, it's either positive or negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not know what the laboratory's sensitivity for marijuana is, or THC. THC is tetrahydrocannabinoid. That's the active ingredient that's found in marijuana.
Okay.
And so when you purchase hemp oil or CBD hemp oil, you want, if you know that you're going to be drug tested, then I have seen studies where, or reports where people have lost their jobs just because they used hemp oil.
Mm.
Or CBD-rich hemp oil, is if I'm saying that better. Because it contains just a teeny tiny amount of THC. Now, usually by law, that's supposed to be 0.3% or less. It doesn't have anywhere of the psychoactive compound that marijuana does. But if you get CBD hemp oil, you either get the one that has the THC removed, or they just distill it out, or they cook it out, or you get the one that has the THC. Now, that's called full spectrum. I can tell you what I'm a fan of. I'm going to give you an analogy here. If we were to analyze every unique individual substance or nutrient that's found in a leaf of spinach, do you know how many unique elements are found in spinach? It's 10,000 plus. It's too many to even name. So you could say, well, is there magnesium in spinach, Dr. Morgan? I'd say, yes. But there's like 9 million other things also. And so when you eat a spinach, you're getting the full spectrum of all the different nutrients. And I've got to believe the way that God designed a leaf of spinach, it has what's called a synergistic effect. All those things work together as a team. And so when you get full spectrum CBD oil, I personally think that's the best. That's just for my own experiment.
Okay.
Or my own field research. You didn't. Now, don't tell anybody my secret, okay? Every human being that walks in my door is my own personal guinea pig. I get to do whatever I want. And I say, I want you to try this and give me some feedback. So they don't know that, though. They do not know that. I had a text yesterday from, I'll just say, an individual that was very, very down and very, very blue. And the text was, guess who's smiling? I thought, okay, it's working. It's working. And so if you knew that there was going to be a drug test, a test for marijuana, that's the one time that you may want to get THC-free CBD oil from hemp.
Okay. But otherwise, full spectrum.
Then you have all the hundreds and hundreds of components that I just, you know, if we're getting as close to nature as possible, this is when it gets to be really, really exciting, because medicine doesn't view anything this way. They're trying to break down and isolate just the one chemical so they can patent it into a drug, but they exclude out the other 9,999 elements that are found in nature. I just don't see it that way.
Mm-mm.
Every single day, if I have a person take something, they can give me some feedback as to how well it works.
That's right.
But then again, like anything else, you may find one person out of 10,000 that if they consume CBD oil, they don't have a good effect. And I'm okay with that. And I would never purposely sabotage a person. But if you rubbed a CBD salve directly over that area of pain, then I think you should expect a very good result.
Have you ever heard of birch oil for bones and pain like that?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And how does that work?
I think the scientific name is Abies pectinata. You see how I tried to impress you with the Latin words? Anyway, yeah, but there's a tree called a birch tree. And they're trying to, as far as, now I'm only guessing when I say this, but I would imagine they take the bark from a birch and they put it in steam distillation and they get the oil that way. But my point is, when you're trying to mend bones, and actually I had a guy one time, can I tell you just a quick story?
Sure.
This guy calls me on the phone, he says, did you read about me in the paper? And I said, no, because I don't get the paper. He says, well, I crashed a plane. I said, okay, not good, but okay. But this guy, he is the nicest guy in the world. He is so funny and comical. Well, to me, he is. But he said he crashed a plane, but he's got a problem. I said, well, let me guess, what's your problem? He says, well, I fractured a leg bone, and the bones will not come together and meet so they can form a union. You know how if you had two pieces of metal about an inch apart, you'd say, let me kind of weld that up together so that I can fill in the gap. So his bones aren't able to come together. He says, can you help me? And I said, okay, this is what we're going to try. So I tried, silver birch extract with him. And guess what happened? All of a sudden, the fractured bone that just wouldn't come together and heal, it just healed. Now, you got to admit, that is just completely above my pay grade. That's too wonderful for me to understand. That doesn't sound scientific, but you know what? I don't care. I could care less. I didn't do anything to hurt the guy. And his bones healed. So, bingo, we're in business. Who cares if it doesn't make sense?
And that was a silver birch extract?
Yeah. Well, the extract of a silver birch. I know there's white birch. There's other.
The reason I ask is we just had one of our large dogs at the farm get run over.
Oh, no.
And he got a very bad break, and I got to watch the surgery yesterday, but it's below his knee and above his ankle, but the bone split.
Yeah.
So they had to put a rod in and some wire, and they couldn't get enough wire in all the places to kind of, and you can see this little quarter of an inch or bigger gap at the very top.
Well, that's what I'm telling you this guy told me, and that's what I use. I use silver birch drops.
Okay.
The tincture or herbal extract.
Okay.
We're going to do a test.
Okay.
You're going to rub a T-bone steak on one kneecap and silver birch on the other, and you're going to see which one he chooses to lick. Is that going to be a problem, ma'am?
No.
Okay. I'm thinking intuitively he's going to think, I really want the T-bone steak, but I really need this split spiral fracture to heal. I'm going for the kneecap with silver birch on it.
There you go.
But you know what I would give him, all jokes aside? You need to go. You need to run right down to the butcher shop and say, I want some raw meaty bones. That's the best thing to give a dog. Give him raw bones. Don't give him the cooked ones. Give him raw ones.
Exactly. And that will help that also.
You know, even if your husband had a fractured bone, I would still say go to the butcher shop and get him some raw bones to eat.
Just to gnaw on while he's watching sports, right?
Exactly. If the Texas Rangers are playing, I expect a large thigh bone of a cow to be in his possession.
I can see it now.
There are some people that might tell me, Roy, some of your ancestors used to carry those big, large bones.
Anyway, right.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
Okay, and I will get that full spectrum cream and try that on my
You know what else would probably
oil.
You know what else would cause that bone to heal in the dog?
What?
If you cracked open a can of sardines,
yes,
and put it in front of you, oh my goodness, spectacular! Sardines are like the rare source of what's called RNA or ribonucleic acid. That is one of the greatest healing proteins of all time.
Fabulous! I love them.
Do you know what my favorite brand of sardines is?
No.
I had a lady ask me this week. It's called Season.
Season.
Yeah, like the seasons are changing.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I'm not saying I've tried every one out there, but this is, man, the flavor is just, I don't know what they do when these are caught off the coast of Morocco, But those Moroccans know what they're doing when it comes to sardine.
Well, I will definitely look those up. Do you get them at the granary or anywhere?
The ones that I purchased, I bought at Costco.
Okay, I'll try
and
them.
Man, when I go, it's bulk. I love those things.
Off the subject, and I know other people are waiting. At church, we used to have a sardine party because people can't stand the smell in the house. So those of us who like sardines would meet every once in a while on a Saturday morning and have sardines.
Now, was the topic of the Bible study Jesus telling Peter and James and John and Andrew to let down their nets one more time? Was that the topic?
I honestly don't remember.
You know what? We could build a whole sermon around this. When you have Jesus, you will be successful when it comes to catching sardines, right?
That's right.
Without Jesus, you will not be successful. Well, thank you very much for your phone call. I really appreciate you. I hope
that
helps. I hope your dog is on the mend.
I hope so, too. Hey,
okay.
Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend.
Boy, you know, that was a bad, bad injury if it was a spiral fracture that split. And when she tells me there's a quarter-inch gap, oh, I believe her. But see, that's the way the body is designed. It's almost like there's magnets in both bones. And they want to draw together and lay down brand new bone to fill in that gap, almost like somebody's welding new bone in that gap. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Oh, this is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
I'm trying to follow a high-fat, low-carb diet for health and weight loss. How does so much fat affect the cholesterol? And which are good and which are bad? You may have been talking about this, but haven't awakened early enough to listen for a little while.
No, I don't think I've discussed this topic. The type of diet you're referring to is commonly called a ketogenic diet, and that just means when you get the bulk of your calories from food and when it's fat and you don't provide enough carbohydrates, your body says, okay, I guess I know what you're asking me to do. You're asking me to take fat and get really good at it, at converting it into energy. And the truth is, every tissue in your body, whether it's the heart or the brain or your muscles, they love to eat fat for breakfast. But one of the substances is called beta-hydroxybutyrate. That's not the only ketone, but it's probably the main one. You will give off ketone bodies. And so to try to directly answer your question, there are plenty of scientific studies where they measure a person's total cholesterol that's on a high carbohydrate diet, and they compare that with a high fat diet. And almost always, it improves all the cholesterol numbers. But there are a couple of exceptions. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but this is what I truly believe. If your body is in need of repair, then cholesterol always goes up to try to counter that, to try to repair your body. So if a person has an infection, your cholesterol always goes up. If a person has horrific mental and emotional stress in their life, cholesterol always goes up. I know it's probably ridiculous for me to even mention people having stress because nobody has stress anymore. Everybody's so relaxed. Am I right or am I right?
Well, you're right.
Yeah, totally. And so anytime that your body is trying to rise to the occasion to repair the brain or the heart, cholesterol levels are going to rise. I don't know if you've heard me say this before, but when I was looking at the research of Dr. Eads from London, what he did was he made a very, very interesting discovery. All these people that had horrible angina. Do you know what angina is?
Yes.
That would be the person that takes about 10 steps, and they're out of breath, and they have to crack open a nitroglycerin, and they have to pop it under their tongue because they've got such severe chest pain. Well, the deal is they're not getting enough oxygen to the heart muscle, so it starts to go into spasm, which is technically what a heart attack is. A myocardial infarction is nothing more than a just big honking Charlie horse of the heart. But then again, it's not good to choke the heart of its blood and oxygen, is it? But anyway, what he discovered was he discovered the inner lining of the coronary arteries that actually feed the heart muscle, and I think the lining of the heart muscle itself was very deficient in the element called zinc. And I thought to myself, oh, this is interesting. And so he went to the university and said, I need to prove whether my theories are right or not. And they said, well, what do you want? He said, give me the 10 worst cases of angina you've got. And they said, deal. And we're going to give you 10 cases of angina where they're not responding to medication. And Dr. Eve said, even better. That's really artistic license on my part, saying I don't know if he said that. So what he did was he tried giving them higher levels of zinc orally for about 3 to 4 weeks. And what happened was, about a week into it, he retested their cholesterol levels, and the cholesterol was through the roof high. But it makes sense. What happens is when we have old, rotten, oxidized cholesterol, it actually embeds in the endothelium, or the inner lining of your arteries, and it gets stuck there. And the net result is it causes your arteries to become stiff and hard, which you know as well as I do, that is not good, right?
Right.
And so this phenomenon where cholesterol shot up, see, anybody that didn't understand this would say, oh my goodness, that's bad, cholesterol's up, bad, bad, bad. Well, that's not what that means. The good zinc was pushing the bad cholesterol out, and it had no place to go but the blood. So what you do is you give your liver a chance to remove it.
Wow.
And so let me ask you this. Would you prefer to remove old, hardened, oxidized cholesterol from your heart and your arteries and your brain, or would you just soon to leave it there where you can go on this downward, deleterious, deteriorative spiral toward disease? No, you want to get it out.
Sure.
And so over time, zinc has been shown to lower cholesterol levels. But initially, it may cause them to go up because the good zinc is pushing the bad cholesterol out. But then you got to give your liver and your body a chance to remove it, and then, I shouldn't say this, but poop it out. Do you know what I mean by that?
Absolutely.
Okay, sorry, I'm not trying to make a joke. But you know, that's the way it goes out of the body.
Wow, that's interesting.
And so when you're on a high-fat diet, I am completely open to the possibility that depending on the level of cholesterol deposits you have in your brain and your heart and your arteries,
mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Your cholesterol may go up a little bit initially, but over time, it's always much lower than somebody eating carbohydrates.
Okay.
Cholesterol is made from acetate. Acetate comes from carbs. So I can tell you directly, the more carbs you have, the higher your cholesterol is going to be. But you got to let me play it both ways. When 2/3 of all heart attacks are when cholesterol is below the number 180. People that are age 75 and above, when their total cholesterol is 275 to maybe 300,
mm-hmm.
they live a heck of a lot longer than anybody else does. So you cannot make me tell you that cholesterol is bad. Cholesterol is one of the greatest healing elements is found in the bloodstream. But that's not the narrative that we're told in medicine. We're told that all cholesterol is evil. Now, if cholesterol rusts like a piece of sheet metal, that's when it's bad. That's called oxidized cholesterol. So every doctor that's listening right now could do us all a favor. If they start ordering a lab test called oxidized cholesterol, we could sort through this really quickly. I kind of think the most accurate medical test they have right now in medicine is called the calcium scoring test. They charge $50 to run it. And it's very accurate. It tells you how much plaque is built up in the lining of your heart. They'll give you an accurate number. If your number is zero, if your calcium scoring test is zero, which is like excellent, that's the best, and your cholesterol is 300, then you've got nothing to worry about.
Okay.
Last time I checked, there are one or two companies that make literally billions of dollars a year on selling cholesterol meds. Now, you know as well as I do, nobody would ever... I have completely lost track of time. We're over. I got to let you go. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye.